Turn to Matthew chapter 25. The title of this message is Final Separation. Final Separation. The Second Coming of Christ. I'm going to put it up on the internet as the Second Coming of Christ, Part 3. The final separation. This that our Lord is speaking of here started back in chapter 24 when he spoke of the destruction of the temple. And the disciples said, "Tell us, when shall these things be? When shall be the end of the world?" They're talking about the end of the age. I don't believe they were talking about the end of the world as we know that's coming to an end. But they were talking about the end of that age, the end of the Roman Empire, the end of their government and their rule, and that the kingdom would be immediately set up and that they would be delivered from all that Roman power. And they would be the one in charge. When do we get to be in charge? They didn't really understand that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom made up of those born of God. So our Lord here in this verse, he's going to wind this lesson up because it says in verse 1, of chapter 26, "And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings." You see, he in chapter 25, we looked at the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Then we looked at the ones who were given talents. One was given 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. And what happened to them? They were not all. And what he's saying in those 2 parables is not all that's in the visible church who profess to be saved, who profess to know Christ, really do. And now here he's dealing with this is the end. This is the second coming of Christ. And he's telling us here that he's coming again. The Lord Jesus Christ, just as sure as you and I exist, is coming again. He's coming. There's no doubt about that. You know, for the Old Testament kept saying someone's coming. Someone's coming. They kept looking for the Messiah. And finally, after about, 4,000 years, he came. He came. And now around 2,000 years has gone by. And the church is still here. We're still here preaching the gospel. But sooner or later, he will come. He will come. You just mark that down. And when he comes, he will come with great glory and power. And he's going to come with all the holy angels with them. They are under his command. There is nothing, no one, that is not under the command, the authority of Jesus Christ. The whole creation is his. We looked at this in Psalm 24. "And they who dwell therein, and everyone is under the authority of Christ." He said in John 17, I think it's in verse 2, "Father, thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as you've given to me." But I have power. I have power over the greatest monarch on this earth, and I have power over the person that no one really knows. I have power over all of them. "For this purpose, that I may give eternal life to as many as you've given to me." No one, no person can put in check the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, not even my will. I can't even put him in check. If he has purpose to save me, I promise you this, he's going to save me. He's going to save me. If it's his will, it's not a matter of, listen, it's not a matter of power. It's a matter of his will. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So when he comes, he's going to come in great glory and power, and all the holy angels are going to be with him. And he's coming to make a final separation between the sheep and the goats. That's what he tells us here. We'll see this. He's going to make a final separation between the sheep and the goats, the saved and the lost. There are only 2 types of people in this world. There are only 2. The those that are saved, those that are lost. Remember back to the ones that were given the talents. One was given 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. And in the 1 talent, he hid it in the earth. And he said, take that talent from him and give it to the one that had 10 talents. He turned his 5 into 10. He said, for those that have shall more be given. And those that have not, they have not the grace of God. They have not faith. They have not Christ. They have not, even what they have will be taken away. So you have 2 people. You have sheep and goats, lost, saved, the haves and the have nots is what you have in this world. Now we have here in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. We have a person here that's revealed. He's called the Son of Man. How often in the Gospels did Christ call himself the Son of Man? So it's evident, there's no doubt, that the judge who sits upon the throne here is the Lord Jesus Christ. That one who was despised and rejected of men. That one whom the Jews said, we will not have this man to reign over us. He is the one who's going to take the throne. He's going to sit down, and every person that's ever been on this earth is going to be called before him. That's what he's saying. This is the one whom the Father exalted at his right hand to be a prince and a savior. And as the scripture says, he has committed all judgment to the Son. Kiss the Son, that's what it says in Psalm 2. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and his wrath be kindled but a minute. All judgment is in the hands of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? I imagine the Lord in all his glory, and we can't even begin to expound what that is. But here he's in all his glory, he takes the throne. And then he calls, listen, all nations. He's not just calling people he knew. No, all nations are going to be summoned. They're going to be summoned before him. He's going to come in his glory. He's going to sit upon his throne. And everybody's going to see that this man, this Galilean, this man who was despised and rejected of men, is the God of glory, is the judge. He's the judge. The first time our Lord came into this world, nobody took notice of it. A few people, but not many. Here, everybody's going to see. Everybody's going to see him in his full glory. Those who love him and those who hated him. Those who loved him and those who are just indifferent. All going to be summoned before him. He's going to take his throne and he's going to execute judgment. He's going to execute judgment. Listen to Acts 17:31. I'll just read it to you. It says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. He's raised from the dead. The one who was crucified, the one who was put to death, God raised him from the dead. And this is the one who's going to sit on the throne and call all nations before him. And before him shall be gathered all nations. The ones right now that they won't let the gospel in. They don't want the preachers coming in. The preachers of the true gospel. They hate it. They're going to be summoned too. Boy, can you imagine what a day of surprises that's going to be? When all people find out that Jesus Christ really exists. And that Jesus Christ really is God. Whenever I hear of anyone dying, passing away, my first thought is always, they know now. And I'm not talking about believers. I know believers know this. But those who die without faith, they die in unbelief. My first thought is this. They know that Jesus Christ is real now. They know he's real now. But it's too late. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. All those on this earth is going to be summoned. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to divide his sheep from the goats. Now I want you to understand something. Never do you ever read in the scriptures of Christ turning a goat into a sheep. A sheep has always been his sheep. Turn over to John chapter 10. This came to me while I was sitting up here thinking about this message, and they were singing. I was listening to you sing, but I was also thinking. I was thinking of this verse while they were singing. In John chapter 10, let me get to the verse. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. I know every last one of them. He knew them before the world was. I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. They'll be called by the gospel. He'll make himself known to them. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That's you, all of you who believe the gospel here. That's us. That's us. There were other sheep, Gentiles. God has a people out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation under heaven. And he said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, they're that Jewish fold. Them also what? I must bring in. I must bring in. I must call them. I know them. I know who they are. I know them by name. I know them. So what's going to happen here is there will be a clear distinction made between the righteous and the wicked. That's not easy to tell here, is it? Because when you think of wicked, you think of somebody out there that's stealing, robbing, and killing, and that's the kind of wicked. When we think of wicked, that's what we think of. Wicked is not to believe God. Wicked is not to believe. Wicked is to lie on God. It's to take the gospel and twist it. Take the word of God and twist it. That's wicked. That's the wicked. And he's going to make a clear distinction between the righteous and the wicked. It says over Malachi 3:18, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serves God and him that serves him not. Only the Lord knows the difference. Only he can see the heart. That's why he said, let the tares and the wheat grow together. Remember they said, you want us to go out and pull the tares up? He said, no, less doing that, you'll destroy the wheat. He said, you leave that alone. You leave that alone. He's saying, talking to people like me, you just keep preaching the gospel. I'll make the final separation. I'll make that separation. And without this separation, heaven wouldn't be any better than this place. It wouldn't be any better. Now in verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. The sheep shall have the place of honor and glory. They are going to be seated there with their Lord. But the goats are going to have the place of dishonor and contempt. If you'll notice here, all distinction is gone. There's nothing made of rich, poor, the well-educated, or the uneducated. It's just this, sheep and goat. That's it. That's it. You're either a sheep on the right or a goat on the left. It's one or the other. Then he says in verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The judge here is the King of Glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he speaks to them on his right hand, he speaks to them in peace. He speaks to them to comfort their hearts. And he says to them, you are blessed of my Father. My Father has blessed you. And listen, he blessed you before the foundation of the world. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, listen to this. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. You see, listen, God is a God of order. God did not create this thing and then just let it go. All things, listen, it says in Colossians, all things were made by him, Jesus Christ. And all things were made by him and for him. The whole creation is made by and for Jesus Christ. You know how sad it is to go through a life and never worship him who made me, who created me? That's amazing. I mean, I know how because of sin. I know how dead we are by nature because of sin. But to go through life and to never give unto him the glory due unto his name, what would you do with that person? Take a child in your house. Take someone you have fed and clothed and take care of, trying to think of a kind word to say without going too overboard. They just thumb their nose up in your face. You know, they acknowledge that you've done nothing for them, that they've done it all. They're self-made. You know, I'm self-made. What would you do with that person? Exactly what God's going to do. He says, you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places before the world began. The Father, he said, has blessed you. He's blessed you. If you'll notice here also how the Lord Jesus Christ here, the King of Glory, gives all the glory of salvation to the Father. You notice that? Because here's the reason why. He's the first in love. I have loved you, he says. Now listen, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You know what that means? It means there was never a time he did not love me. And never a time he did not love me. Can I explain that? No. The secret things of the Lord belong to the Lord. The revealed things belong to us and our children. There are things that the Word of God revealed. God has revealed in his Word that's for us to believe and to lay hold of. And there are secret things that we can't explain and we are to leave those alone. But our Lord here, he gives the glory to his Father because he's the first in love, he's the first in election, he's the first in calling, he's the first in purpose. I know this about God is good. God is righteous. God is holy. He can do no wrong. What he does is right. Henry said one time, he said, God will save all that he can wisely save. I thought that was a profound statement. He will save all that he can wisely save. Now these that he's speaking to, the sheep, they are welcomed into the kingdom. They are welcomed in. They said, welcome. And listen, it's an inheritance. It's an inheritance. You know that? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Not just prepared and see who shows up. It's prepared for you. And listen, it's an inheritance. Do you work for an inheritance? By the very name of it shows you don't work. By the very definition of it, you don't work. You don't work for an inheritance. That's not a, if you did, it's not an inheritance, it's wage. You got paid. Inherit, it's given to you. It's given to you. It's prepared for you, he says here, from the foundation of the world. It is a kingdom prepared. God has never, ever done anything that he did not finish. That he did not finish. When God created the heavens and the earth, before he created Adam, he was going to put Adam in the Garden of Eden. Everything in that garden was complete. Complete. He did not create all things and leave one thing left to Adam. He didn't do it. He said, Adam, just dress it and keep it. Take care of it. Take care of it. And this kingdom has been prepared of our Father. He purposed it. And you and I have been purchased for this kingdom. A whole multitude of sinners that no man can number has been purchased for this kingdom. Our Lord said this in John 14, I go away to prepare a place for you. And I heard my pastor say this. He went and prepared a place of acceptance. And I'd never heard that before. Because I had no place before God. I lost my place in Adam. In Adam all die. I lost my place. But Christ said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And here's what happens. In time, a sinner hears the gospel, has an interest in it. He's born again, or he or she is born again. You know what's happening now? The Holy Spirit is preparing that sheep, that sinner, for that place. Right now, you know, we go through our lives and all the things that come and go in our lives. You know what's happening? You're being prepared for that place. You're being prepared. You're being weaned from this world. As my pastor said, before he passed away for the last few years, he told me, John, I pray every night. I will not wake up here the next morning. I wake up in glory. Wake up in his. The Lord knows how to wean us from this place. You know, you who believe, you complain. I've complained about what's going on. Why is this happening? What's going on? You're being prepared for a place. And this is not the place. This is the place God's going to burn up. The place for the sheep is where their Lord is, the shepherd is. It says here, I talk about this inheritance. It says in Galatians 3:18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more of promise. If it's of works, it's no more promise. No more given by promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. He gave the inheritance to Abraham by promise. You have in Christ, you have eternal life, and you have it by promise. God promised it to his Son. God promised you, you who believe. God promised all these for whom Christ died. He promised them to his Son. He promised them to him. You know that we are his inheritance? We are his. Ask me, he said, for the heathen, and I'll give them to you for your inheritance. Can you imagine that Jesus Christ asked for you? Doug, can you imagine that Christ asked for Doug West? That's amazing that he would ask for John Chapman, a wretch like me. Well, here's a character revealed. He's going to reveal the character of his sheep. He's going to distinguish now. He's going to distinguish the difference between the sheep and the goats. I was hungry. In verse 35, I was a hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. You notice here how their works followed them? Not for salvation. You know that. We're saved by the merits of Jesus Christ. But the Lord does not ignore what his sheep do. He doesn't ignore their works. He doesn't mention, now listen, you notice here, he doesn't mention what they believed. Because if God has saved you, you will believe the gospel. You will believe the gospel of God's sovereign grace. You'll believe it. But he doesn't mention what they believed, but how they lived and how they treated others. Because this is the revelation of being like Christ. In this life, you and I are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And right here, he said, I was in prison, I was hungry, and you fed me. Being conformed to Christ is not looking like him outwardly. It's a spirit, it's attitude. Mention is made of their obedience. Listen, not as their right to the kingdom, but as evidence of their interest in the king. Of that kingdom. They denied themselves as he did. And now what we looked at in the Bible lesson this morning. Paul denied himself. He said for the glory of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel. For the sake of God. I deny myself all these liberties that I have a right to. You know, if you're going to go visit somebody that's sick. You deny yourself of time or something else you might have wanted to do. You know what it takes to do that. You know what it takes to just put yourself aside and go visit somebody sick. Or if somebody's hungry, you take your money, your income, whatever, and you help feed them. Take care of them. They denied themselves. They showed love to the brethren. And they showed faith in Jesus Christ. And look at the humility. Now, this really got to stand out here. Look at the humility of God's sheep. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee? When did we ever see you hungry and fed you? Or thirsty and gave thee to drink? When did we ever see that? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in? When did we ever take a stranger? We didn't see you like... When did we ever do this? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came to... When did we ever really do any of this? You notice something here. Let me point this out. In God's providence... The Lord brings some of his own into trials for the exercise of the grace in others. You say, Ed's going through a great trial. That trial's also for me and how I react to it. You know that? God sends one trial to his, he'll send a trial to one of his children. It's a trial for the rest of us too. How we respond to him. It's a trial of the exercise of grace in me. He might empty me and fill you. And what a great trial that is for both of us. Let me give you this. I thought about this. I would rather be the one hungry than be the one with all the food and no heart to give it. I'd rather be the one hungry. And the one who has all the food and all the accoutrements of this life and have no heart to give it. They said, Lord, when did we ever see you like this? They just couldn't remember. What are these works that he's speaking of here? It's the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy, kindness, long-suffering, patience. The Lord takes notice of their works, and they don't even know that they just like, I don't remember doing that. I don't remember. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Whatever I do, I mean from my heart, whatever I do to one of God's children, I'm doing it to Jesus Christ himself. Are we not one body? Is not that body real? It's real. So whatever we do to one part of the body, we do for the whole body, and we do it to Jesus Christ, who is the head of the body. What this reveals here is their humble character. When God saves someone, he humbles them. I'm telling you what, if God hasn't humbled you, you've not been saved. God said, one of the seven things God said he hated, you know what one of them was? A proud look. A proud look, like you somebody. They don't feel like they've done anything worth mentioning. Lord, when did we ever see you this way? And notice here how the saints think lowly of their own good deeds. They especially think they're not worthy to be mentioned. And to be compared with the glory that has just been revealed to them. And no doubt, the saints in glory, the saints in heaven, and when all God's children stand before him, they're going to stand in wonder that God would regard their service so highly. But now look at the wicked, the goats. The wicked he deals with now. In verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. You notice he took care of his sheep first. He took care of the sheep. He put them into the kingdom. He said, everything fine. Good. Enter in. Enter into the kingdom. Then he turns to the wicked. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. They are ordered to depart. To hear the judge say, get him out of my sight. Get him out of my sight. And they have a place to go to, and it's prepared. That place is prepared also. They've got a place to go to. It's called everlasting fire. And it's a prepared place. It's prepared for the devil and his angels, which says those who go there are just as bad as he is. Just as wicked. It's a place without mercy, without hope, without light. That's why it's called outer darkness. A darkness that's just never ending. And notice here, they had the same opportunities. In verse 42 through 45, he says, for I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, I want you to notice how different the answer is. When saw we thee hungry or thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not do these things? You notice that the sheep, they said, when did we ever see you and do this? I said, we don't remember ever doing this. And the wicked, the self-righteous said, when did we ever see this and not do it? They just had their flag of self-righteousness waving high. Then answered he and said to them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not to the least of these, you did it not to me. Our Lord knows every thought. He knows the thought of every heart. You know, Scripture says that even all our thoughts will be brought into judgment. Now we know this, the sheep, they are not afraid of judgment because all their sins have been put away. They've been put away. It's evident here by their conduct that they were graceless. The work of the Spirit was not in them, even though they had made a profession. And these shall go away, he said, into everlasting punishment. Why is punishment everlasting? Because no sinner, can ever satisfy God's justice. No sinner can ever satisfy God's justice. There's only one man, a perfect man, who knew no sin. He satisfied God's justice. In hell, they still hate God. You know, when that rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, he said, "Father Abraham, go warn them about what? This place." Isn't that what Arminianism does? Is that not what present day preaching does? It warns them about a place called hell, and you can go to heaven if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's what that rich man, he said, go warn them about this place. And he said, they have Moses and the prophets. He said, no, if one rose from the dead, they'll believe. He said, no, they won't. No, they won't. If they won't believe Moses and the prophet, they will not believe though one rose from the dead. Because the message is not about that place. He didn't say, go tell them, Father Abraham, send somebody to tell them the gospel. Send them to tell them about Jesus Christ. Send them to tell them about His blood, His righteousness, His redemptive work, His substitute. Tell them about Him. No, he said about this place. This place. And he says here, they will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Into eternal life. We have a good end to look forward to, don't we? Everyone who believes the gospel has a good end. We have a good day coming, a better day coming. Our Lord is coming again. He's coming back and He's going to take His throne, and all nations are going to be gathered before Him, all sheep and all goats. And the sheep are going to go into eternal glory. And those who just made profession, those who are just religious, are going to go into eternal fire. Sobering, isn't it? The two parables, see, this one really not a parable there. This is the way it's going to be. But the two parables in this one are sobering. They said, Lord, tell us when. He said, okay, sit down here. I got something to tell you. I'm going to teach you. Are you listening? You know, we've gone through this chapter 24, 25, and when the Lord's given us these instructions, he that hath ear to hear, let him hear.